The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome to King's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Tuesday, Gary, how the heck are you?
I'm doing really good, and my favorite story of the day is from Germany. The two elderly German men who escaped from their nursing home. And, you know, the staff and people were panicking. Where the heck were they? And they found them at a heavy metal festival.
Whacking open air, which is not just any festival. This thing, like, goes on forever, man. It's a big deal. And anybody from any age would be there. It's worth escaping for.
After the home reported them missing, police found the two at 3 a.m.
Don't you picture Alan Arkin? Right? And Michael Caine at the heavy metal show.
Police spokesperson said they were disoriented and dazed.
Well, so was everybody else.
Metal festival. What do you expect?
There's about 200,000 people there of the same description.
Eventually, they were persuaded to leave.
Right after Crocus left the stage. You got to wait until Crocus is done, then I'll go back with you.
Helped them home, escorted them home with the help of a taxi and a patrol car.
Okay. Wow, cool. They got a ride home.
They obviously liked the metal festival.
Yeah. What's not to love?
Who was it? Who's a comedian? I can't, Jim Brewer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he, first of all, did you ever see when he does the AC/DC thing?
Oh, yeah.
That's just superb. Former SNL.
Someone suggested that he take Brian Johnson's place when Brian was kicked out of the band.
In fact, one time, I think during his stand-up comedy, Brian came on stage.
Yeah.
And I think they did it together. They sang it together. But that's just greatness. But he always talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
That by the time he gets into a senior citizen's home, what will it be like? You know, what kind of bands will you have at the senior citizen's home?
Right.
Is it going, you know, is it going to be, the lovely chamber music?
Right.
Or is it going to be that every room you go into, they're going to be jamming to heavy metal?
Yeah. Well, that's for any generation, it's going to be whatever that music was. You know, back in the day for you. And I don't know how all these men were or are here, but let's assume they're, I don't know, 75.
75, yeah.
Right? You go back 30 years, that means they were in their 40s and probably still rocking, which means they probably, and a lot of the whacking artists, there's new artists, older artists as well, but, I mean, it might go back 30 or 40 years, so... You know, that's the music they were listening to, that's what's going to happen from pretty much this point forward. All my buddies, you know, that I've known since grade school, we talk about this.
Now, see, that's a movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, a heavy metal road trip with old guys. No, that would be great. That would be funny. That would be hilarious. Yeah. Because,
Alan Arkin, Michael Caine.
Yeah, Michael Caine, Alan Arkin. I mean, you get a bunch of guys. And then what you would do is you would bring in some of those older artists, too, to kind of have cameos.
Yeah.
Wayne's World, so you'd have Whitesnake in there. Because if you think about Whitesnake, David Coverdale goes back to, what, the early 70s with Deep Purple.
Oh, yeah.
So look how far back, I mean, he would, like, connect with. You know, with anybody that's older today. I mean, that's a big deal.
I remember, so I had to be 74.
Yeah.
Listen, I remember we skipped one of our college classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the one guy in my engineering class just was blasting Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Ozzy and Company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was 74.
Right.
So that, you know, you're going back. You're going back quite a ways.
It's always interesting.
You're going back over 40 years. You're going closer to, you know, 44 years ago.
Yeah. And they just finished up their final tour, and Ozzy's back out on the road solo in Europe. Seriously, man.
It could be a movie. But that story got to me, as did the carjacking that was deterred by a manual transmission.
If you want to keep your car, just buy a manual transmission. The bad guy's not going to be able to steal it.
I
love it.
Apparently they jumped in and couldn't figure out how to run the manual transmission.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Probably kept popping the clutch.
Yeah, forget about all the locks.
Right.
And all the high technology.
Right.
Just get a manual transmission.
Exactly.
You know what I have in my vehicle that I haven't even... It surprised me completely.
Huh.
I didn't even know that they existed. And I discovered it about 3 months after I had my new vehicle.
Radio?
No. They've got the automatic, you know, stick shift.
Mm-hmm.
But you can put it in manual mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife has that.
It's like, what's the purpose? So you can pretend?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no clutch.
No, there's not. It would be for a certain situation where, you know, you need those gears. It would be rare that, you know.
No, I think they do it for fun.
There's part of that, but I don't know. You know, I think anybody who would want that for fun would actually buy a real manual transmission. Yeah.
All right, we got a great show ahead.
Mm-hmm.
The judge and DACA.
Yeah.
Which, again... you know, we always talk about the F word, which is the fascist word, which we have never brought up. We did not initiate the use of the F word. That came from the left. And so since they bring it up all the time, we have had to, out of necessity, let people know the definition of the word and where it actually applies. And we have said that mindset exists with many judges who do not believe in the separation of powers and believe that because they are a judge, they apparently have got an infusion of brains and can rewrite the separation of powers. Mm-hmm. And we'll go into that because what the judge even said was, Department of Homeland Security and, the executive branch, they have the authority to do this. They just have to give a good reason.
No.
No, they don't.
No. And the court doesn't have to approve reason.
No, that's the whole point. That what he's saying is, mm-hmm. Well, you have the authority to do it, but you have to give the court a good explanation of, no, you don't.
No.
If Obama initiated an executive order...
Circumventing
the power of Congress, then the next administration, irrespective, let's say it wasn't Donald Trump.
Right.
Let's say it's every Democrat and
Joe Biden.
Every never Trumper favorite. No, we got it. John Kasich.
He's eating, though.
John Kasich.
He's at a deli.
John Kasich. Could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Biden could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who holds that office can simply say that executive order no longer applies.
Right. Yep.
They have the discretion to do that. The court
Absolutely.
Can't come in and say, well, no, you can't do that unless you give me a good explanation. You
nope.
don't get a say.
Because if you extrapolate that out, then the courts get to sit in the war room and decide, on this executive power, on this executive decision, give us a good reason for going to war. Give us a good reason for whatever it might be.
Well, if the courts can demand that the executive branch give a good reason for executive orders, then the courts can also say to Congress, well, you know, you passed this law, but your explanation didn't satisfy
yeah,
me.
Right.
Sorry, you don't get a say in that.
Nope.
And that's where we say now, we understand that our audience, our listeners, understand the separation of powers, but understand that this is not a huge controversy out there in the media and throughout America because the majority of America doesn't have a clue about what the separation of powers even mean. They don't even, they can't even describe to you, they can't even tell you that we have an executive, legislative, and judicial branch that is limited in their power and authority by the Constitution. And that there was a specific reason for that. Mm-hmm. So power could not be concentrated in a small group of people, including judges.
Yep.
And this is so simple. And still you'll have people defending the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. The executive branch, if the executive branch issues an executive order, the next administration can rescind that order. They don't need the approval of the court to say, well, Obama had a good reason, and you don't have a good reason.
Right.
No, you don't. They get to have certain powers, and if an executive order is put in, well, then it can be taken out.
Yep.
It's that simple.
Yep.
Courts don't get to question why. They don't get to go to Congress or the executive branch and say, no, look, you have to justify this to me. So we'll get to that. What the president missed about the spy in Feinstein's office. And mm-hmm. and it was just, you know, so obvious. Wall Street Journal and others have pointed out. It's the first thing that I thought of when I saw it. I said, no. When I saw what he said at the rally the other night, I'm like, no, you missed it. No. The whole point. And to tell you what the point is, so not to keep you wondering, the point is simply this. Is that the FBI told the senator, we believe that you have a spy for China in your office.
Mm-hmm.
They warned her. They didn't start a counterintelligence investigation into her office to find out whether she was colluding with the Chinese. They told her.
Yep.
There was a spy in her office. They did not tell the presidential candidate, we believe that you have somebody who was colluding with the Russians who may be a spy in your office. That's the difference. That's the point that we and others have been making all along. And for the president to miss that, if you can't even, with all of your lawyers out there, if you can't come up with the right talking points at the right time when it's about defending yourself and your own administration, I throw my hands up.
Well, it also proves that Giuliani is worthless. Sorry, but you need a new lawyer. Because if you can't do it and Giuliani can't do it, Then frankly, I don't know how this thing is ever going to. This is basic defense. These are basic points. Something the defense of the president, essentially the public defense of the president, has been screaming about from the beginning. Why didn't the FBI notify him? Why was he not notified? Why would you not tell him? I mean, were they going to, would they have told the DNC? I mean, all of the work, it's quite the opposite with the DNC. The FBI wanted to help them. They wouldn't turn over the servers.
Right.
I mean, this thing is about as backwards as it gets and about as slanted in one direction as it gets.
We'll get to more of that. We'll tell you about J.P. Morgan Chase CEO gives a warning on Treasury bill interest rates. 10-year bill, he says he sees hitting 5%.
Mm.
Well, that's a case. then a six-month is going to be back up to what I got a few years back, which was over 6%, which was 6 to 7%, which, again, will skyrocket the debt. Do you know what's you think about that. What will that do to the amount that we have to pay on the debt if the 10-year gets up to 5%.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty.
The Manafort trial here, that's really interesting. We'll get to that. 72 shot and 13 killed over the weekend in Chicago. The Antifa tactics, we'll get to that. Apple, Facebook, and other tech companies delete content from conspiracy theorist Alec Jones. That coming up here. Plus your calls and comments and a lot more. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Yeah, the Manafort trial, and every day. By the way, I wish, you know, remember in the 90s when we were all concerned about different court cases going on and all obsessed and watching TV and all the different, you know, the heyday of court TV? Mm-hmm. Boy, I sure would just... I would love to be able to see this Manafort trial.
Yeah, it would be great to be able to watch it. Judge Ellis, basically, after the jurors were dismissed for the day, went after the prosecution and said, you're building your case based on associations with these Ukrainian individuals, and you need to focus instead on the crime that was committed. Because Gates was his testimony began on Monday, but Ellis had a problem with Gates and the prosecution moving so slowly with Gates because they kept focusing on the association that Manafort had with these individuals. And basically the judge's position is, I don't know these individuals, these Ukrainian individuals, and frankly, I don't know if they're good or bad, and I don't care. That's not this trial, basically. Focus on the crime that you say Manafort committed, that, you know, how he got his money and everything else. The association with the people is purely political.
Right. What he does with the money, his association with people, unless he committed crimes with them, are not relevant.
Because you're focusing, you have to show basically the jury, demonstrate to the jury what crimes he committed, what proof you have. The people on the other side associated with, they may or may not have their day in court. They may or may not be charged with something. That's different from this. Focus on what you say Manafort did wrong and the proof of that. The associations with people is not the point. It doesn't matter who they are, if they're good or bad, for the sake of this trial.
And I mean, it got to the point of just, you know, pretty tense, pretty bizarre, in fact, with the judge telling the prosecutor, look at me. When he claimed he was looking down at notes.
Yeah.
And he was like, look at me, when the prosecutor wasn't looking at him in the eye. All along we've thought that Ellis has not been pleased with the way that the prosecution has presented this.
Well, because in the pretrial hearing, you talked about it. Look, you're just trying to get Manafort to flip on Trump. And so far, that's what he keeps focusing on. This seems to be focused on political stuff. For Cobra, here is your forecast.
Heat watches and warnings are in effect for a large portion of Southern California and the desert Southwest for the next few days as temperatures soar well above 100 degrees. Warmer temperatures will also return to much of the east. Across the plains and western Great Lakes, severe thunderstorms and heavy rainfall are possible. Over the next 5 to 7 days, the most intense rainfall is centered just north of the Dallas, Texas area. So up to 5 inches of rain for southern Oklahoma, northern Texas expected over the next week, a region that desperately needs some rain. That band of wet weather will extend into the lower Tennessee Valley and portions of the south. Not as wet in the mid-Atlantic for the next 5 to 7 day period. And you hardly will need a rain gauge for California this week, as well as Oregon and Washington and Nevada and Idaho. Very little rainfall expected there. And there's a look at Tuesday's National Weather Outlook from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Join Gary and Eric in the Octagon now. 1-866-90-RED-EYE.
And he's Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, just got to read the headline here. I happened to come across just on my phone as I was just scanning my phone. Babylon Bee, the parody website, the fake news, the official, I mean.
Intentionally
fake news. Mm-hmm. Death penalty still permissible for people who drive slowly in the left lane, Pope Francis clarifies.
That's funny.
Now, we do know that one was fake, though. That was the one they had yesterday. Well, that could have been reality.
Yes, exactly.
On the Democrats and the Supreme Court justice, that they don't want him to adhere to the Constitution too much.
Right.
All right. Talking about, I guess not constitutional issues here because there is not a constitutional issue. But big story yesterday, conspiracy theorist Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You had Apple, Facebook and YouTube deleted years of content from Alex Jones and his InfoWars as they call it, not just website, but platforms over allegations of hate speech. Jones has gone off the deep end, many times before.
Mm-hmm.
The government orchestrated the September 11th attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy Hook massacre may have been staged. Things like that. The problem is not, Alex Jones is going to exist in some form, whether it's Alex Jones or somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Conspiracy theories are a part of our culture, be it right or wrong, they are.
Mm-hmm.
You and I dealt with Jade Helms. I can't tell you that when we were laughing about it 3 years ago, we were criticized heavily from some of our listeners for being fooled. Well, we weren't fooled. Anybody who believed in the Jade Helm conspiracies, you were fooled.
Mm-hmm.
You played the sucker. And so we deal with reality on this show. Others do not, but that's fine. The challenge and the problem here is that Facebook and YouTube claim to be neutral. And so if you're going to be neutral, what is your definition? That's been some of the criticism yesterday is Jones, the actions against Jones and his platforms being deleted, that the company cited unspecified violations. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to be pretty specific, especially when you call yourself a neutral platform. But I know what people are concerned with, and what they're concerned with is the fact that, you saw Candace Owens the other day when she took the new New York Times reporter, was Sarah Jung, and substituted black instead of white, mm-hmm. to make a point, and she was suspended from Facebook, whatever. And she said, I'm not the racist here. I'm making the point of what was written. And then after, tons of complaints, they reinstated her. It's the fact that we all know where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook said in a statement Monday it was removing four of Jones' pages for glorifying violence, which violates our graphic violence policy, and using dehumanizing language to describe people who are transgender, Muslims, and immigrants, which violates our hate speech policies. But we've all seen where hate speech is gone now. If you do not accept, in many liberal quarters today, if you state, look, somebody who's transgender, do I believe that many of them believe that if they are biologically a woman, that they're actually a man? Yeah, I think some of them, I think some do, that they actually believe that in their mind. It doesn't make it so. That statement right there, saying that that is not the truth, it's not reality, is viewed in many liberal quarters as hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's no hate attached to it, there's no hate at all. Somebody who was in that position, especially when you see from many transgenders, the rates of depression, of suicide, I take no joy. There is no hate in that. But whatever causes them to believe that is their belief. It does not make it real in the real world. It does not make them biologically or legally, and should not make them legally, the gender that they believe that they are. And we've gone through the whole thing. Well, gender is different than sexuality. No, in the 70s, that started changing. The definition started changing from those that were promoting that. You decided, okay, we're going to change the definition here. And if we change the definition, then we will have credibility. No, it doesn't work that way. But forget about that. That's for another day. My point is, saying that and explaining it that way in many liberal quarters is viewed as hate speech and intolerant. Will we get to that point?
I think we're on the way. You know, Ben Shapiro was threatened with violence when he brought up biology during a conversation with a transgender. Because, and recently...
Because that was viewed as hate speech.
Yes. And recently, a portion of the LGBTQ group said, lesbians, the L's...
In Great Britain.
Yeah,
right.
Saying, we don't believe that transgenders... belong in our group because it's different.
And they were accused of hate speech.
Right. And so when you look at that, that's where it's going. You can't say something and as they did and as Ben Shapiro did, talk about what? The science, the biology. Well, how dare you? That's hate speech.
And you see in a day and age when, again, that's viewed as hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
But Sarah, you know, Jung and what she wrote and what she had on Twitter is
self-defense.
Right. Is self-defense and not considered hate speech. And of course, that's ridiculous. We've been called every name in the, you know, every name in the book. We don't retaliate by using the same bigoted and intolerant and racist tactics as others do. Even if we're accused of that, we don't retaliate in that same way. Why? Because we don't think that way. We would never respond that way because you only respond that way because you actually think that way. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you don't respond that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not even kidding. Oh, it was a sarcastic response. Doesn't matter.
No.
If you are a professional journalist, if you are a professional, in the media business, and you wish to have credibility, and you wish not to be known or have any suspicion of being a racist or a bigot, then you don't respond in that manner.
Right.
But it's becoming accepted on the left to do that. Identity politics is becoming totally mainstream in the Democrat Party and through liberals, and they don't even see their own bigotry, their own racism, their own intolerance. And so what is going to happen, I believe, in Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter is it simply will become a launching point for the left's bigotry, intolerance, and racism.
Yeah. And this is exactly where it's going, because you don't have to engage yourself in identity politics for it to control the conversation. You know, the left right now is scrambling. The Democrats, the party, is scrambling because there's a number of them that don't want the identity politics to control the future of their party because they know where it's going. But it controls the any conversation and every conversation in any room that it's in. When it exists, it basically becomes this vacuum and you don't get to say so. Just like on the set of the old Dr. Drew show with Ben Shapiro. Sorry. And then he was blamed for bringing up science.
And remember what they said?
Yeah.
You were wrong.
You knew that would invoke violence.
Right. And you were promoting hate speech because you knew if you said that, that would get him angry.
Right.
And therefore, you doing that, you are immoral and you are wrong, because even if you're right, this actually was the explanation. Even if you're right, it still brought anger from him. And so he views it as hate speech. Therefore, it's hate speech.
Right.
Really now. That's how it works.
Well, just like Jong at the New York Times. Well, that was in defense of somebody else saying something to her. So you're justifying it.
Right.
And it wasn't one event. It was over and over again.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, what's the difference between two racists yelling at each other? Because that's how they would defend themselves.
Right.
Well, I'm of this nationality, and therefore I am superior to you.
Right.
No, I am superior to you because I am of this. Because my genetics are this way, I am superior to you.
Yeah.
Okay, here's how I'm going to respond. Because of my genetics, I'm more superior than you are. My genetics are more pure than yours in my own genetic way. Well, if you have that discussion back and forth, you come to the conclusion, oh, you're both racist. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the New York Times attempting to defend it. That's the problem, because that's, you know, that's what we have now. We have now the mainstream media defending racism, defending intolerance, defending identity politics, judging people by their genetics.
Yeah, right.
But we're doing it because we care. Oh, that's how you sell racism.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it because it will make society better. I believe that racism has been sold with that explanation for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the whole thing. Look, you know, there is no freedom of speech issue here because they're private organizations and can do what they want. It's not the government. But I've always thought, you know, when we hear because of social media, we have a more bitter and divided society. I actually think that when you allow people to let it go and have their little stage, I believe that's what, you know, the whole concept of freedom of speech, you know, in the First Amendment, even though most people don't understand what the First Amendment is about. that's yesterday's show. I believe that it helps a society overall be more civil when people believe that they can get, you know, their own few minutes and they can scream and they can yell and they can rant. I actually think it helps a society. So I think that's the founding fathers knew that about the First Amendment. And not that this is a First Amendment issue, but because of these platforms that are available, many more people are able to let loose a little bit. I think that's actually beneficial to society, even if their message at that moment may not be beneficial.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. He's Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Jim in Albuquerque. Jim, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm listening to your show. Why are you even talking about, like, hate speech like it's a legitimate term or it's a legitimate subject? There's no legal basis for it, and you're just legitimizing the leftist attempt to shame people.
We're using their terminology.
Okay, it's like talking about, like, you know, unicorns or something like that. It doesn't exist.
No, we're pointing out the ludicrous behavior by the left.
Okay. All right.
Jim,
there you go.
Jim, I hate you.
You hate me? Why?
I'm trying to make a point here. No. I actually don't hate you. I'm trying to make a point. Is that hate speech if I mean it?
It doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned, everything out of every Democrat's, liberals, progressives' mouth is hate speech, and they should all be banned 100%.
Oh, then there is hate speech.
No, there is hate speech. I would say, Jim, don't ban them.
No.
I know what you're saying, by their own standards, right?
Let me bring up one quick thing that you were talking about a moment ago.
Very quick.
That a while ago, when Ben Shapiro was threatened by that guy who dressed in drag, the transsexual, if he actually did pick a fight with him, should he have fought back like the guy was a guy, or should he have fought back like the guy was a woman?
Oh, wow. There's a question. had he been attacked?
Yes.
Or anybody, not just Ben, but anybody, would they be accused of abusing a woman? Whoa.
Well, remember, it was Shapiro who was threatened.
Yeah, no, that's right. No, but he was saying, if there was a fight and Shapiro defended himself, would he be accused of hitting and attacking a woman?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
And to the last caller, again, it was funny because you said there's no such thing as hate speech, and then you were talking about the left involves themselves in hate speech. That is our exact point. When we were talking hate speech, we were talking about the fact that, look, anybody in their opinion can tell you what they believe hate speech is. It's how do you legally state what hate speech is.
Right. Yeah.
And it can be different to different people what, in their opinion, hate speech is. So it's not whether hate speech exists in people's minds. It's how you legally define hate speech. And it's and so when you start with when you have organizations like a YouTube or a Twitter or a Facebook, when they start defining, okay, you are being cut off because of hate speech that violates our policy, and you're like, where's the specific policy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get into then, well, this is my opinion of what hate speech is.
Right.
And that's what Twitter and Facebook are going through already in the whole Candace Owen thing the other day when she took what the New York Times reporter had tweeted out and substituted, and Candace Owen, if you don't know, is black, and she substituted the word black for the word white, and said, would this be accepted? Now, she wasn't stating it. She was trying to make a point. She was using those quotes to make a specific point and made sure she had it in context with that the New York Times reporter claimed she was doing on Twitter, but there was no context to it. She never did that. And that's the whole point. And so what you had, and she was banned from Facebook for a while until she was put back on later, what was that, 2 days ago? She was put, back on it later on in the day. And they said, okay, we realize what you were doing. So you have people making at these different tech companies, you have them making their opinion on what hate speech is, which then the next response is, well, yeah, this is hate speech, but that isn't over there. And then the ball just starts rolling. But what I see happening is it will be the left defining what hate speech is, which will be anything that comes from the right. And their intolerance and their bigotry and their racist arguments are the ones that will allow to be, to be able to stay on.
Right. And they keep saying it's because they care. They've done everything. Right. Pretty much their entire agenda is because, well, we care more. We're not racist when we do it. You're racist because you exist.
Well, you're racist because you don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you're racist for every reason and any reason.
Well, how do you care? Well, we can't explain it, but, you know, it just...
But we do. Everybody knows it. So...
Well, end of
discussion.
Of course I care.
Yes.
Because I believe the government should take your money and give it to somebody else. So I care.
I care. I don't care about you, but I care about other people. Nobody cares about you because you're racist.
And if you don't agree with what I believe the government should do with your money, then you are involved in hate speech. I love breaking all this down. It does get to be fun.
Because you exist. That's basically it.
I am evil because I exist.
Yes. I don't need a reason.
Well, you don't.
And it's so funny because the media will phrase it as Mr. McNamara. Some people say he's evil. Came to, you know, that, you know, they'll throw those things in, the little
some
jabs,
people,
right? According
some
to some, is
evil.
An evil person. According to some. And then the questions. Some say that you're evil.
And I could tell because Eric called him evil and he laughed.
Exactly.
Like he thought it was funny.
Because it is. It's not like I thought it was funny. It was funny. No, it's those contrived, loaded questions. Mr. Trump, many people say, stop right there.
Who specifically said it and what was their context?
Right.
Let me hear that.
Give me the quote. Imagine, I don't know if he ever did it, but he most often went straight to the point or the quote. Tim Russert. He wasn't one of those lazy journalists. Some people say. It's a guy that did his homework. Okay. Mr. Trump. Jeff Flake says. And here's the quote.
Well, no, but. That's required to do because that's the lazy way out by saying some people. Because when you say this person made this allegation against you and you say, okay, what was the allegation? Well, they said this in the context of what? Because if you're trying to get down to the truth of whether the allegation has substance to it or not, you need to have that.
Well,
some people call you a racist. What do you believe about it?
Yeah.
Well, I can't answer that question because I don't know who the specific person is and the context and what they were relating to, if you could please, I think in all fairness, if you're going to say that to me, I believe that you need to provide the context and who said it. Therefore, I have a reference point to defend myself from that allegation. But since you haven't given me that,
right.
I have no answer because I don't know the context of the allegation.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll debate like it's not them. Debating him. And then, you know, because the answer will, well, but then some people would tell you that blah, blah, blah. Some people would respond by, you mean you would respond by that?
Right. Are you making, or is some people you?
Exactly.
Who are these some people?
Look, if you can't quantify something and don't have a statistic in front of you, that's one thing. But when you come up with a specific allegation or you're almost attributing a quote to an entire group of people, you need to do a little more homework. You know, if you want to get into the, all right, a number of people in the Republican Party, a number of the supporters in the Republican Party believe or want you to, or, all right, that's one thing. But that's not what the left engages in. They engage in this. And it's different than a straw man argument. Often it is a straw man argument, but often it's also what? The journalist, the so-called journalist, basically debating without saying it's them debating the point. Debate the point.
Right. Well, do you think I'm a racist, and based on what?
Right. Don't hide from it. I mean, if you believe you're justified in that, if you believe it's the right thing to do, don't hide from it. Own it.
Did you see that Candace Owen and Charles Kirk were in that restaurant in Philadelphia, and Antifa came in and basically, I mean, they're just... It was in Philadelphia, and so my first thought was, well, how do they know where they were?
Mm-hmm.
Do they follow them around? Do they stay outside their homes and follow them?
If it's a place they frequent, they're going to know.
And they were screaming at her, "White supremacy!"
Right?
It's like, mm-hmm. I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just. Yeah. I mean, it was just bizarre.
Well, I mean, this is what you get. When the left is basically calling on them to do just this, shame them in public. It's no longer acceptable to do it just on social media. You've got to go out and shame them in public. As Sarah Huckabee Sanders pointed out last week, she's the first press secretary to have Secret Service assigned.
Right.
That's how bad it is. And that's not contrived.
Do you think that may be one of the reasons? Because I've noticed since, you know, that happened and she made a point of it, all of a sudden now all the journalists are saying because of Trump's rhetoric, their lives are in danger.
Right. And that started, we go back to the publisher of the New York Times when he sat down with that, that meeting, that off-the-record meeting, and he says it was his point to try and convey that concern to the president that these journalists, not just here in the States but across the world, were in danger and this could lead to violence. Well, what do you think's going on right now with Trump and his staff and his people in his administration? And who caused that? Who is it that's repeating this? Who is it that's basically towing the line for those activists making these claims?
You had that the New York man who was accused of leaving threatening voicemail messages for House Majority Whip Steve Scalise and Republican Conference Chairwoman Republican Kathy McMorris Rogers was found to have 200 rounds of ammunition in his home.
And we
talk about the whole Scalise thing,
right? I mean, knows better than the dangers that that might be present at any given moment, and this is what it's come down to. Not that every person or every activist, I guess, that wants to taunt them in public is going to be necessarily dangerous or violent, but how do you determine that, and how do you know that?
Right. But the rage and anger directed in public and public slash private settings. If I'm in a restaurant in a corner booth,
right?
I'm in public, but I'm in a private establishment.
Yeah.
And boom, there they come in.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was? I'm trying to think of who was the other person that was. It was Tommy Lahren that was in the restaurant.
Mm.
She was also in a restaurant. So you think about who is putting people on the right into very uncomfortable, intimidating, and bullying position. You know, where they are bullying them into at times wondering, will violence happen when you see the rage coming? Who's actually doing that?
Right.
Where do we see it?
Show your support publicly for. Or openly for Trump and see what happens in a restaurant. I mean, forget about his staff. Forget about his administration. And the members of the administration. Anybody wearing a cap. Anybody wearing a T-shirt.
And as, you know, of course, we always believe that violence promoted by either side is wrong. But as we have stated consistently, Where is it really happening? Where are the intimidating tactics that are actually scaring people in public happening, where people don't know? I don't know these people, and they're enraged at me, and they will barge in, and they will do anything to disrupt my life. What's after that?
Right. What is the next stage?
Are there a lot of cases of Trump supporters attacking or in mass, in mobs, you know, confronting individuals?
Well, can you imagine between 2008, you know, Election Day 2008, and then January of 2017, anyone wearing an Obama T-shirt doing anything? I would barely make note of it, much less be driven to violence because of it. It's insignificant. I don't care who that person supports. Right.
And so you have the media walking around as if they're the only ones who believe that they are under some type of threat of violence, ignoring what is going on around them to other people in the media that disagree with their position.
Right. And by the way, this is I don't see this going away after Trump is gone. When he's no longer president, I don't see this. In fact, it's quite possible it gets worse. Remember, Bill Maher pretty much let the cat out of the bag, though we did not need him to do that. You know, all the other guys we called Hitler, they weren't really Hitler. This guy is Hitler. That works in a progressive fashion every time.
Well, and it was brought up, and we brought it up on the show, when you continually refer to somebody as Hitler and people that support them as fascist and Nazis, how do you respond if somebody truly is a fascist or a Nazi? What does a Nazi do? A Nazi murders people.
Right.
So you are throwing that label at people. You're not saying I disagree with you on the issues out there. I'm not saying that, look, I think that your president talks in a rude and crude way. You're referring to the president as a murderer and the supporters as a murderer.
Right.
That's what you're doing. Is that fair, or does that in any way provide any type of setting to have reasonable discourse on the issues and reasonable debate on the issues? No.
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 And I doubt it will ever get back to that.
866-90-RED-EYE.
When it comes to proper tire care and maintenance, what can you do to improve fuel economy? Jason Evans is Director of Store Operations for GCR Tires and Service, and he tells us.
Fuel economy is certainly something on the top of everybody's mind. So I think the industry in general understands, beginning to understand the importance of things like air pressure. But just to throw an idea out there that maybe not all our listeners hear all the time, is check your tread depths. Check your tread depths, particularly on dual wheel positions where tires are bolted together and essentially forced to rotate down the road at the same speed, because for $2 in your local truck stop, you can find a tread depth gauge. Anything beyond 1/8 of an inch difference, or commonly referred to as 4/32 in the tire industry, between dual positions can really add to rolling resistance. Not only does it add to rolling resistance, it tears up your tires faster, and in a lot of cases, it's a similar condition in terms of a fuel economy as having maybe a brake dragging. That may be a tidbit out there for the listeners to really key in on, because mismatched tread depths on duals can really add to rolling resistance.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Front Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
The Chinese spy in a senator's office. We'll get to that. And Attorney General Jeff Sessions slamming a ruling yesterday that was handed down by a U.S. District Court judge. By the way, as this moves up, it'll eventually be overturned, by the way. You know, here's a judge again. It's just bizarre how blatant in the ruling legalities are just thrown out the window. Well, yeah, I believe the Department of Homeland Security, yes, they can change it, but they must give an adequate explanation. No, they don't.
No. And the question is only, do they have
the authority?
Is this outside the executive power's authority?
No.
The executive branch's authority? No. The answer is no, it's not. It's like saying that anything that that is done through an executive order, and by the way, the former president, Obama, he's the one that circumvented Congress.
Yes, exactly.
And so that's if this judge believes that Obama had the power to do this, then you must believe that Trump has the power to reverse it, which, by the way, he does.
Undeniably irrefutable, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour brought to you by Freightliner. Run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. Coming up here in just a couple of weeks, it is the Great American Trucking Show in downtown Dallas. This show's been going on for quite a bit, many years, in fact, and we've been there since the beginning. Red Eye Radio will be out there with a number of guests. We want you to come on by. It's Thursday, August 23rd through Saturday, August 25th. You can go to truckshow.com, drivers, and register. Again, truckshow.com and register. They'll be in downtown Dallas again, August 23rd through the 25th. More details on the way, but you can go to truckshow.com or redeyeradioshow.com for more details.
This from the Daily Caller. All of the details of a former longtime Senator Dianne Feinstein staffer who's accused of relaying information to Chinese intelligence services while working for the California Democrat point to Russell Lowe, a Daily Caller News Foundation investigation has determined. Lowe worked for 20 years in Feinstein's San Francisco office, where he was a staff liaison to the Asian American community before leaving approximately 5 years ago. All those details match up with the descriptions of the Chinese spy Feinstein reportedly employed. Quote, Chinese intelligence once recruited a staff member at a California office of U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein, and the source reported back to China about local politics. Politico reported on July 27, describing the staffer as a liaison to the local Chinese community who was secretly reporting back to Chinese intelligence services. Since then, more details have emerged about the alleged spy, including that he worked for Feinstein for 20 years, attended Chinese consulate functions for the senator, and was fired 5 years ago. All of those details point to Lowe, who was listed on Feinstein's payroll as office director in 2013, according to records maintained by the Sunlight Foundation. Lowe joined then San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee and other California politicians at a farewell reception hosted by the Chinese consul in March of 2013. Lowe and six other attendees awarded proclamations in recognition of Consul General Gao's contributions to the friendly cooperation between China and Bay Area cities. By 2014, Lowe was gone from Feinstein's staff when he spoke at an April 2014 conference on Chinese investment in the United States. He was introduced as former assistant to Senator Feinstein. Lowe now works with the Education for Social Justice Foundation, a San Francisco-based nonprofit that says it's focused on educating the public on Japanese military's Comfort Women system, which forced over 2,000 girls and women from at least 13 Asian countries into sexual slavery by the Japanese Army before and during World War II. Feinstein said the FBI reviewed the matter and shared its concerns with me, and the employee immediately left my office. He never had access to classified or sensitive information or legislative matters. The FBI never informed me of any compromise of national security information. And as we said earlier, Trump talked about that at one of his rallies this week. And as we brought up, Wall Street Journal brought it up, and others brought up, he missed the point. The point he should be bringing up is that the FBI is the one that informed Dianne Feinstein about it, and they didn't inform Trump.
Right.
He was a presidential candidate. They didn't inform Trump about Carter Page or Papadopoulos or anyone. They did a counterintelligence investigation. Why didn't they do the same thing with Feinstein? If they knew that for years he had been working, it was easy to figure out, right?
Right.
Easy to figure out. Been there 20 years. If you're going to do a counterintelligence investigation, it would be somebody who heads your office staff, who you believe has been a spy and worked for you for 20 years. Not somebody who is an extremely low-level a campaign volunteer worker who has never, ever met the presidential candidate. That deemed a counterintelligence investigation by the FBI, and this in Feinstein's office did not. Why? What's the difference? Explain it to me.
Because if you're the FBI and you're conducting an investigation and you believe this might be the Russians, tampering with the election process, you want to work ahead of that so they don't have an opportunity, right? The first thing you want to do is go to the head of that campaign, to go to the candidate himself and say that. They knew about it and did what? Nothing.
Right.
They did nothing.
They told her about it.
They told her about it. They didn't say anything to Trump.
Yep.
They didn't act on any information they had. If you knew they were meddling in the election and you thought there was a connection there, why didn't you jump ahead of that?
In other news, Attorney General Jeff Sessions rips at federal judge for improperly reinstating DACA and eviscerating executive power. That's the headline from Fox News. Interesting where, let's follow what the judge actually said. This from Fox. Following the however, the judge denied a motion by the government to revise its earlier decision in April, which determined that the Department of Homeland Security's decision to rescind DACA was unlawful, according to court documents. Following that decision, the court issued a 90-day stay, acknowledging that the Department of Homeland Security could possibly remedy the decision's inadequacies, at least in theory. For the reasons explained below, the government's motion will be denied, the document said, although the Nielsen memo purports to offer further explanation for DHS's decision to rescind DACA. It fails to elaborate meaningful on the agency's primary rationale for the decision. The judgment that the policy was unlawful and unconstitutional. And so when you read that, you say to yourself, excuse me, you've said they have the ability and authority to do it. You don't get to decide why, Judge.
The reason isn't up to you.
Isn't up to you.
No. No, it is not. They don't have to justify it with you. If you can't see that the former administration went outside its role in creating DACA, then how is it that, I mean, that you're going to now sit here and say, well, you're going to have to come up with a good reason to undo it? No.
The point is, even if it was, and, you know, even if Obama did not circumvent Congress, and it was, and everybody agreed that what Obama did was perfectly legal and perfectly okay to do on the executive order, then for whatever reason, he's got the executive power to do that. Well, then Trump has the executive power for whatever reason he chooses.
Well, and that's if, assuming, yes, that this judge believes that Obama had the power to do that and was within his executive power to do that, then Trump is within his executive power to rescind it.
Yes.
Well, either way, if you believe that the former administration, when the former president went outside of his role, then it's clear. Or you believe he didn't go outside of his role, and there's no excuse needed.
The aforementioned memo from DHS Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen provided additional policy grounds to undo DACA, the judge wrote. However, he added most of the simply repackaged legal arguments previously made, making them insufficiently independent from the agency's evaluation of DACA's legality to preclude judicial review or to support the agency's decision. You don't get a say.
No.
You know, look, there's no difference between this and if Congress, a Democrat Congress, passed a law. And then a Republican Congress comes in and says, well, no, we don't. We're rescinding that law because of this. And then they file suit and go to federal court. And a federal judge says, well, I don't agree with the Republicans' decision. The Republicans have to justify. No, they don't.
Nope.
No, they don't. Either they have the right to pass laws or they don't.
Either they're acting within their power or they're not.
Is anything that the president is doing unconstitutional?
Again, there's two possibilities. The judge believes that Obama was within his power to do that, to instate DACA and the provisions. And if that's the case, that means Trump is within his power to undo it.
Right.
And or that the former administration acted outside their role and outside their powers, and it would be very clear. The actions are up for interpretation. However, the only judgment to make is with it. Was it within the power of the president to do it?
Well, look, if you're not satisfied, if anyone in the federal government is not satisfied with the president's, with President Trump's explanation of why they should get rid of DACA, then the only government branch that has the authority to change it through legislation would be Congress.
Right.
Is anything that the president doing unconstitutional by federal law? This judge hasn't said it. He simply says, I don't like the explanation. You haven't explained it fully enough to me. They don't have to.
They don't have to.
You don't get a say.
Nope.
And so it'll be interesting to see, because I'm sure this will be appealed and continue to go up.
Yes. In fact, the spokesperson said they're going to act immediately. You know, this judge here giving them basically 20 days to respond or appeal. That's going to happen. That's definitely.
And again, it gets to a separation of powers issue, which 75% of America have no idea what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
We know that our listeners do. Mm-hmm. But for anybody who's not a regular listener, who's just coming in from the left, probably is like, what's separation of powers?
Well, and that's what it comes down to.
Because the poll shows 75% of Americans don't know. So maybe I'll give the benefit of the doubt that there are some on the left that do understand the separation of powers. Hmm. It's not all. It's not a majority.
Yeah. Well, my question is how many sitting on the court?
Yeah, how many sitting on the court understand the separation of powers?
Right.
That's really where the problem seems to be.
Exactly.
Is a lot of the 75% are federal judges.
Yes. And either they're being intellectually dishonest legislating from the bench, or possibility number two, or
they have the mindset of the F word.
Yeah, exactly.
Since Sillette brings that up all the time.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Coming up following the top of the hour, the U.S. to reimpose sanctions targeting the Iranian economy. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
We're happy to hear this one. I wish the Manafort trial was being televised.
Yeah. Why can't we get cameras in there?
I just really would like to get behind, you know, what the judge in this case is thinking. You know, judges don't act in a bubble. We have seen this. We just talked about the judge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these federal judges are paying attention. They don't like Trump.
No.
And they're going to try to stop his agenda. And so also criminal judges also understand what was going on. They're not operating in a bubble either. And it's interesting because all along this judge has freely expressed the doubts that he has as to, you know, what Mueller was doing, what Mueller is doing and what the prosecution is doing in this particular case.
Yeah.
Not the prosecutors may not have the evidence, but the fact is the judge is really, and after yesterday, the 10-minute back and forth, is really trying to keep them in line to say, what is the crime? Not the associations. What is the crime? What is the criminal act here?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. Only Trump could do it.
Yeah, what's
that?
We
have talked about this before, that only Trump was able to get the left to understand the Second Amendment. Because remember, when he became president, they noticed that gun sales have gone up. And you had the left stating, well, you know, we need to participate, and we need the Second Amendment to keep us from the suppressive fascist government. Something that conservatives have been stating for the longest time, that the Second Amendment exists in order to protect us from an oppressive government.
Mm.
The left always laughed at that, and now they were embracing it after Trump was elected.
Right.
The other thing that only Trump could do is he got the people of California and other leftist states to understand the concept of states' rights, to the point of they wanted to go way further than what states' rights were ever meant to be. Which means not only do we want states' rights, we will ignore federal law. So states' rights, the Second Amendment, key areas where only Trump could get the left to think about such things. Only Trump could do this. This is in front of the White House yesterday, and this has been going on now. I think Russian annex protest is what they're calling it.
Mm.
The left is out there, signs of treason and everything else. But Rosie O'Donnell led a group of Broadway performers in a musical protest of the Trump administration on Monday night. You want to hear part of the singing?
Sure.
All right, here we go. All right. Only Trump could get the far left to sing patriotic songs and embrace patriotic songs. The next thing you're going to see is the left
standing for the national anthem.
For the national anthem.
No, don't get crazy.
But here they are singing America the Beautiful, flag waving. And so we are going to call out Rosie O'Donnell.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these protesters out there in front of the White House, she led a group of Broadway performers in the musical protest. She said, let the president know in no uncertain terms that we are alive, awake, and we are woke. Mm. She said to the crowd, part of an ongoing anti-Trump protest now on its 22nd consecutive night. Some of those that are protesting as part of the Kremlin annex protest were in their third week of the event. Protesters gathered Monday, this is from The Hill, protesters gathered Monday with an array of anti-Trump signs, many focused on alleged conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russian government. Two of the most popular chants of the night were lock him up and Putin's puppet. Therefore, we have this challenge to those on the left and Democrats out there that you have completely 100% failed. You are complete and total hypocrites on the Russian allegations. And you know why? Because you are not behind us in the FBI and the Department of Justice releasing all the information that they have on Trump's collusion with the Russians. The Republicans are all for it. Devin Nunes is for it. The Republicans, House Freedom Caucus, they're for it. They've been screaming for the FBI and the Department of Justice to release all the information that they have on Trump colluding with the Russians. It's only the Republicans that are screaming for it. If you say lock him up, if you're calling him Putin's puppet, why aren't you behind us seeking that all the information is released? If you are not behind us in that, you are nothing but hypocrites. You are liars. You are hypocrites.
That information would prove once and for all to the American people.
You say that Trump conspired with the Russians. Wow, excuse me. Colluded. Now in the last week, conspired.
Mm-hmm.
It went from collusion to conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
But colluded and conspired with the Russians to change the outcome of the election. Let's find out the evidence that the FBI has so you can prove your point. Why aren't you behind the release? So you know and you have the evidence that Trump colluded / conspired with the Russians to hack or change the outcome of the election. Why are you not screaming for that?
Because that information surely will prove it, which means in the court of public opinion, that leads to the political will for what? Impeachment. And then you can move on with the legal process, right?
Right. If you find, if you get your all your information here, then you can go for impeachment. Why are you not behind us? To any Democrat out there, why aren't you behind the FBI and the Department of Justice releasing the information that they have on Donald Trump and the investigation into collusion or conspiracy with the Russians? Call it whatever you want. Why aren't you behind us? Why are you stating we need to get to the truth? We believed that he committed treason. By the way, that sign was, you can see the sign clearly mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. Treason. Mm-hmm. If you believe that the president committed treason against the United States, why aren't you behind us to release all the information on the investigation of Donald Trump. Because you're a bunch of hypocrites. That can be the only reason. You're a bunch of hypocrites.
If you believe it happened, how are you going to prove that?
Or you're hypocrites and you know you're lying about it. Because otherwise you would be behind us wanting the FBI, because that's the only evidence that you would have, is the FBI and the Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. They were the ones that started the counterintelligence investigation on Trump. If you believe he is guilty, you want the evidence, right? And if you don't want the evidence, it shows that you're just a bunch of political hacks. You have no purity. You have no liberal purity. All your patriotic singing, everything is just a smokescreen of propaganda and lies. Tell us where we're wrong.
Anybody, Adam Schiff.
Anybody on the left, tell us where we're wrong. Go ahead.
Adam Schiff over the weekend. Well, it's obvious. It's right there in plain sight. No, it's not. You're the top Democrat on the House Intel Committee. Show the American people.
Right.
Go with Devin Nunes. Go to the FBI, the Justice Department, and get that information unredacted and show the American people. That will lead to the political, that will prove that it happened and lead to the political will for impeachment. Certainly it will.
Every one of you on the White House lawn are hypocrites, liars, and political hacks. You actually don't want the truth. You actually don't care about whether anybody tried to change the outcome of the election. You're lying. You're hypocrites, and you're using the propaganda of patriotic songs because you don't have the evidence behind you. That's how far you had to go. You had to do something as distasteful to your liberal DNA and sing patriotic songs because that shows you how much of the lack of evidence that you have, and you don't want the truth.
Why is Rosie O'Donnell a nationalist?
What? Yes, she's a nationalist. America the Beautiful? Nationalist.
Mm-hmm. Are we exceptional? I mean, you're singing that song for a reason, right?
Exactly. Why are you singing the song?
It's about American exceptionalism. I mean, it points it out.
American exceptionalism, American patriotism.
Yes.
We're patriots. We want to know the truth. We believe that Trump colluded with the Russians to hack the election. Well, the only way you're going to find out whether that's really truthful or not, well, either you have the evidence and are refusing to present it because nobody's presented that evidence. Do those, Rosie and everybody that's protesting at the White House lawn for the last 22 days, either you have the evidence, which is why you're protesting, or you're searching for the evidence. Well, then you should be screaming for the release of it.
Yep.
And if you have the evidence because you're so certain, why aren't you releasing the evidence?
And why aren't you calling on Adam Schiff to do what's within his power, to join Devin Nunes, to go to the Justice Department, to make sure that information gets out to the American people?
Ah, because you're hypocrites, liars, and political hacks.
You care more about the imagery of you doing something than the actual
substance.
You doing something.
You actually don't care about the United States. You actually don't have patriotism. You're using it as propaganda at this particular moment because you don't have the substance behind you. Tell us where we're wrong. I dare anyone to tell us where we're wrong in our analysis here. You can't. Because either they know the evidence because they claim he committed treason.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's the evidence? If you have it because you're so certain, present it to us. And if you don't have it but you think he did it, then you should be demanding that the FBI and the Department of Justice and Adam Schiff get to the bottom of it and get the actual documents of the FBI and the Department of Justice to show you that Donald Trump colluded or conspired with the Russians to change the election. Then you can impeach him.
Yep. If you expose this to the American people, the impeachment process wouldn't be far behind.
Right.
The political will would be there because certainly it would prove it. Let's go.
Man up. Oh, wait a minute. That's gender specific. Person up.
Yes.
Wait a minute. No, person has son.
Step
in.
Up.
No, Step Up. Thank you very much. Because person has son in it, and their son is gender specific to a man. So that's People Up.
Why aren't they doing that? Why aren't they in front of Adam Schiff screaming? Why is Adam Schiff at one moment saying, I have proof, there's proof, and then this past weekend saying, well, it's obvious? No. You don't, Mr. Schiff, if you're a prosecutor, you don't walk up in court and say, well, he murdered the guy, it's obvious.
Your evidence? Well, you know, it's obvious.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
And then
your evidence?
Down. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, well, that's what he did over the weekend, because you and I looked at that one interview and said, well, he said it's obvious, and he said it's there, yet he never stated what it was.
Right.
So it's time to get down to the truth here, as it always is on our show, and I know a lot of other people want the truth. We want the truth. Those protesting on the White House, they don't care about truth.
Nope.
All they care is, do we have an effective propaganda machine?
Let's go.
Because if you care about the truth, you care about the actual documents and the actual investigation of the FBI into Donald Trump.
And otherwise, you should be asking, why is Adam Schiff protecting Donald Trump?
Right. Otherwise, you're a hypocrite, you're hypocrites, liars, and you're using patriotism for the worst reason, which is to promote untruthful propaganda.
Yep.
If you'd like to get in, we do have lines open, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Hey, listen, you know, we're a year and a half, into the investigation of Trump campaign collusion with the Russians. And it's about time that we just, let it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And since you still have these protests going on, and since you have the 22-day protest and the Russian annex protest going on, and the signs that Trump, that treason was committed and everything else, well, then you should be standing behind us, and you're not. You're not standing behind us to release all the information. And if you're not standing behind to have the information release of what the FBI has, because you believe he did it.
Yep.
You believe that that the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians to hack and change the outcome of the election. And if you really, really believe that, and you're not just throwing out propaganda, then you should be behind us. And if you're not behind us, it means one of three things. Well, or a combination of all. You're a hypocrite, you're a liar, and all you're interested in is propaganda, untrue propaganda. You're actually not trying to get to the truth. Rosie O'Donnell, not trying to get to the truth.
Right.
Russian annex protest 22 days at the White House, you're not actually trying to get to the truth.
No.
Because you only get to the truth by getting to the evidence. Opinion is not evidence.
You're putting on a show.
Hate is not evidence. Evidence is when law enforcement and other agencies do an investigation. So let it all out.
Yeah.
Let's see what's in there. Why aren't you behind us? Why aren't you screaming at your elected representatives that are Democrats to do something? Why aren't you screaming at Adam Schiff when he says, we have it's clear, the evidence is there.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you screaming for him to say, okay, what is it?
Right. Show it to the American people to build the will, the political will to move forward with impeachment. That would be your position.
Right. You want impeachment. You can only get impeachment through evidence. Why aren't you screaming for the evidence?
Right.
If our logic is somehow misplaced, please tell us how it's misplaced.
Because there would be no interference with a criminal investigation beyond the impeachment. You go on to the legal process after impeachment. You don't want him to be president. That's number one on your list. Yet no one on the left is screaming for that information to be released.
Right. And Adam Schiff says he's got the evidence.
Right.
He won't say what it is.
Why is he not calling on the Justice right. Department right now?
To release the evidence that he said he has seen.
Right. Show the American people.
Why isn't he screaming for it? Huh? Any Democrat? Anybody in the left? Any Trump hater? Can you explain that for us? We'd love an explanation on it. You can't give it.
It's not there. Doesn't exist.
Otherwise,
or
otherwise
Adam Schiff is covering for Trump.
Yes.
Adam Schiff is protecting Trump.
Right. Why aren't you screaming that Adam Schiff is colluding with the Trump campaign to keep it all secret?
Because it's one of the two. Either the information is there, as Adam Schiff claims, and he's doing nothing about it,
why is
or
that
it's not there.
Why is Adam Schiff being paid off by John Kelly?
Right. They're all in cahoots. They're cahooting.
Exactly.
For Video Road Log, here's your forecast.
Heat watches and warnings are in effect for a large portion of Southern California and the desert Southwest for the next few days as temperatures soar well above 100 degrees. Warmer temperatures will also return to much of the east. Across the plains and western Great Lakes, severe thunderstorms and heavy rainfall are possible. Over the next 5 to 7 days, the most intense rainfall is centered just north of the Dallas, Texas area. So up to 5 inches of rain for southern Oklahoma, northern Texas expected over the next week, a region that desperately needs some rain. That band of wet weather will extend into the lower Tennessee Valley and portions of the south. Not as wet in the mid-Atlantic for the next 5 to 7 day period. And you hardly will need a rain gauge for California this week, as well as Oregon and Washington and Nevada and Idaho. Very little rainfall expected there. And there's a look at Tuesday's National Weather Outlook from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tough Guys, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, I'm Gary McNamara. Yeah, I just think it's time to call out the left. You know, enough after a year and a half. If you claim that you really care, well then step up.
Yeah.
Step up. Demand the evidence, and you're not.
Well, and I think the greater point would be, on the larger picture, the question, why isn't that happening?
Well, if you're
why isn't the left collectively screaming at the top of their lungs for all this information to come out so that once and for all you could move forward with impeachment, because certainly it's going to prove that he's guilty.
Well, I guess I would ask this question, too. You've got this protest at the White House going on now for 22 days. Rosie O'Donnell's there with the Broadway group. They're singing America the Beautiful. There's signs of treason and everything else. Well, what are you calling for? What are you protesting for? What action do you want to be taken?
Right.
You're screaming, you're yelling, for what? What's the end game?
Right.
What do you want?
What are you trying to get?
We want him impeached. Well, then you first need the evidence. So why aren't you screaming for the evidence to get him impeached? Who has the evidence? The FBI and the Department of Justice has the evidence. It's the Republicans trying to get the evidence. And the Democrats, the people that you vote for, doing everything to keep the evidence that you believe is there to show collusion. It's the FBI and the Department of Justice that's holding it back.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you screaming that the Trump and see, this is what I haven't heard. Why aren't they screaming that this is the Trump? Trump runs the executive branch. This is Trump's FBI and Department of Justice. Why isn't Trump's FBI and Department of Justice releasing the information so we can prove that Trump colluded with the Russians?
Right. It really is, because I don't know one person. I mean, forget about anybody out there in the rank and file. The one person who has the power to make that happen, who could, along with Devin Nunes, be going to, in fact, he should be leading Devin Nunes and calling for the FBI and Justice Department to put this information out. And that's Adam Schiff, the top Democrat on the House Intel Committee. Why would he not be screaming for this? And he would be, the appeal to the American people would be, look, if we can get this released, it's going to prove it, and we can move forward with impeachment.
And then prosecution.
And then the legal process, yes.
Right. Why are we more behind your position than you are?
Right. What was the one chant they were using today?
Lock him up?
Yeah, no, Putin's puppet.
Putin's puppet.
Come on.
Right. He's Putin's puppet.
Lock him up. Let's go.
Lock him up. Get the evidence. Why aren't you behind us in getting the evidence? How many times have we said this? But again, we had to reiterate it again today since they're protesting again. It's the Russian annex protest that Trump committed treason. Lock him up. Putin's puppet. Well, then what are you asking for? Why are you protest? What do you want from the White House? What do you want from the government? What do you expect in order to get to whatever you wish the conclusion to be? The only thing that can get you to your conclusion legally is having the evidence that the FBI and the Department of Justice has that they won't release.
Yeah. Not too hard.
It's quite simple. And they're quiet when you call them on it.
Right. I mean, you've got enough energy for 3 weeks to be protesting on this, but yet you're not calling on the actual process that would allow it to happen.
Right. Why not?
You're doing it wrong.
Well, that's not new.
Yeah. If you believe it happened, call for the evidence, because clearly the FBI has the evidence.
And I just wish that more Republicans and the president would focus in on that.
Mm-hmm.
And Giuliani would, I don't want Giuliani to focus in on anything.
No,
just go away.
Yeah.
But the president's supporters, Sarah Huckabee Sanders should be saying it every single day. I'm sure she has asked the question, what do you think about the protest? Well, then fine. If they're protesting, then let's get to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to the, we agree with the protesters. Let's get to the truth. Devin mm-hmm. Nunes should be talking about the protesters out there.
Yep.
Rosie O'Donnell's out there. Mm-hmm. Let's bring Rosie O'Donnell on. Fox, everybody should be. Look, you're out there protesting. Then the only way that you can get to the impeachment, because you believe that, look, Russian annex, lock him up, Putin's puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And then how are you going to find that information? You want him impeached, right? Yes. You want him removed from office, right? Yes. You want him to be prosecuted, right? Yes. Okay, fine. What's the process? Join us in the process of finding out the truth to find out whether it happened or not. No, we can't do that.
Right.
Well, then shut up.
Right.
I believe that our request is extremely reasonable.
Well, what is it you're trying to do? Or are you trying to do anything? Are you just putting on a show? Or do you actually want something done about it?
Are you trying to convince us through singing America the Beautiful that you believe in American exceptionalism?
Right.
Is that
you nationalist?
Is that the whole purpose? Are you just expressing your nationalistic tendencies?
Right.
By singing America the Beautiful?
Next thing, you're going to insist that we close our borders and build a wall. Trump takes a trip to Mexico. Okay, build the wall now. Build the wall now.
This just in, Canadian conservatives, sick and tired of their government. Thousands are at the northern border trying to get in. Close the borders!
Build the wall on the northern border. Yeah, there should be a call to action.
Yeah. And there is no call to action. This is one thing that's missing. There's no call to action. They're not saying, we demand what? They're just protesting.
Right.
Well, but there is no demand. There's no call to action.
You know, lock them up, but there's the process. So where do you start? What's going to get that done for you? I mean, certainly you've thought it through. Not too hard. We have a process.
Right. Well, with Hillary, when the Trump supporters, you know, since the campaign been saying lock her up, it's based on what? It's based on the specifics of the crime that you can actually specify.
Yep.
You know what the crime is. You can actually go to federal law. Mm-hmm. You can go to the Espionage Act. You can see what the actual law, the fury is over the specifics of the FBI and Comey deciding not to prosecute her when clearly you can see what law they believe she broke.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get to the specifics of it. In this case, lock him up for what? What's the specific even allegation against the president?
Come on, you're out there to
that
protest,
would put him in jail.
To get the American people's backing, right? To get their support. So you've got to convince them. You're there for a reason, Rosie. Because you're a celebrity. You get the attention. Well, then from that, you tell the American people what the process is, and then you make a demand, not just general demand, specifically where you begin in that process. This isn't difficult.
Well, look, and the left is always good at call to action, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We're protesting to get this. We want this.
Yes.
What do you want here?
Right.
And how do you get there? Nothing. Let's go to Adam in Salt Lake City. Adam, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, one of the things I was thinking of is, you know, that we basically what we're looking at here is the very thing that Trump's being accused of is the very thing that they're doing. So the real interference is actually deep state, U.S. intelligence, the Clintons, everyone trying to hide their crimes. And I think what it comes down to is it's time to rip off the Band-Aid, fire Sessions, get someone in there that Trump can count on to really finish the job of draining the swamp.
I would disagree. I think what the president has to do is declassify the information. Getting Sessions out of there changes nothing. Declassify the information.
Yeah, we can deal with Sessions later.
Right, you deal with Sessions later, but to
get this over with now.
To do that right now means that the allegations continue. The allegations will continue.
I can understand that. It just seems like we're so much on the defense instead of the offense.
Well, that's how. How do you get on?
And like you've said so well, that the evidence just hasn't been put forward, and yet there's evidence on the other side with
Hillary's
emails.
The president
I just say it's time to go on the offense.
The president is the one person with all of the power to do just that, to release that evidence.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that's what we're looking for because it's past
Thanks, Adam.
It's past the time to say it's this person's fault or fire this person.
Let's focus on the process.
Or the investigation should have never started.
Right.
What we need now is information. How do we get the information? How do we get transparency and how do we get to the truth? That's what I want.
Focus on the process, not the people. You can deal with the people later. The president has the power to do that. Declassify this information, put it out there for the American people once and for all, show them. Prove it. This is not, from that perspective, it's also not that hard.
No, it's not.
Get with Director Ray, get with Nunes and Schiff, so you make sure you address any objections by the left through Adam Schiff. You declassify that information. And put it out.
And I would even say, look, there's a protest going outside the White House. They believe I'm guilty. Other people, and I know I'm innocent. Other people agree with me that I did nothing wrong. These people don't believe it. How do we solve this? As President of the United States, I want to get together with Republicans and Democrats to declassify but release all the information of why the investigation was started, what evidence the FBI and the Department of Justice had, release the entire FISA application, redact everything that Devin Nunes and Adam Schiff wish to be redacted, and let it all out there.
Yep.
Because both sides, one side's claiming I have committed treason, and I know I haven't. I have my supporters that agree with me, but I know I haven't. The other side believes I have. The only way we get to the truth, and you do a speech, you actually do a speech and you do it.
Yep.
And you side on the side of transparency. Well, you're interfering with the investigation. I certainly am not. The investigation can go on. Because there's more than one investigation, not just the Mueller investigation. There's various investigations going on. The Mueller investigation's not being impeded. This investigation is. We want all the investigations to go to their logical conclusion.
Yep.
And the only way we can do that is if information is released and transparency is there so the American public can see for themselves what the evidence was against me.
Yeah. Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Getting some response back saying, you guys don't understand that the left doesn't care about the truth. We know that.
Yes. We're making the point.
Yes.
That's the whole point.
That's the point that we're making.
Mm-hmm. It's not that we're calling on them to do anything.
Yes.
We're pointing out what should be obvious, and I believe is obvious to critical thinkers, what should be obvious to everyone.
Yes. We don't believe that because we have stated at this hour and probably hundreds of other times throughout the past year that all of a sudden a light's going to go off in their head and they're going to say, oh, it's the truth that matters because the guys at Red Eye said it matters.
Yeah.
And therefore, we do want this investigation. We clearly understand that they do not care about the truth.
Yeah, Rosie's not going to say, oh, Eric and Gary are right.
Yes.
Mm,
so we understand that what we're trying. Look, the entire point here is, as we've always stated before, is the fact that there are people that when you make the points go, oh, yeah, you're right. And that's a point that one of the points we've made all along is that in any case, does the evidence back it? Because
right,
they claim that it does. And you're not trying to convince those on the left. You're trying to make the points to everybody else and those that are actually willing to listen. Mm-hmm. They may be few, but those few are what changes elections.
Right.
And that's what your hope is. But our goal is to get irrespective of that, our goal is to get the truth out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want. We want the truth. We want transparency. And we continually make arguments about the weakness of the integrity and the credibility of the left on every issue. And it's just a continuation of that. We understand because you guys think the left's going to change. We didn't say that.
No.
No. We know the left is not going to change.
We're well aware. We also know they hate Trump. There are some very obvious points.
Yes. And if the truth is out there that it was the Hillary campaign that colluded with the Russians mm-hmm. to change the outcome of the election and not Trump, it still wouldn't matter. Oh, wait, we already know that.
Yeah.
Oh, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.